And every single job I had, I would always try to find a better one for at least, you know, being 16 or 15. And I'd always think that that next job that pays, you know, a dollar or 75 cents more an hour is going to make me happier, but it never did. So then eventually I realized it wasn't the money. It was the commitment of having to get up, you know, at early on a Saturday, which for a teenager is a big deal, and go to a job where I'm standing in front of a register, and then I can literally see at the end of the shift, I can see how much money the place made. And for example, if it was like a wholesale club or something, I'd like the register reading would be like 20 something thousand dollars. And I'd be like, dang, and I'm only getting like $8 an hour to do this. So I just quickly realized that I needed to sell something to live the life I wanted to live.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 104 with funnel hacker extraordinaire, J.R. Rivas.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Everyone, welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, JC Preston, founder of New Inceptions, a website dedicated to helping people find their own personal freedom. Of course, this is the show released each Thursday where we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. Hope you're having a great week. If you're in the Florida area, hope you're getting the heck out of Dodge. Irma is coming in pretty strong. And in fact, yesterday I was talking to today's guest, JR, to tell his mentor, Dan, to get out of Miami. You know, he's supposed to have some pretty impressive protection for his actual house. He says that he's like by some of the internal waterways, and while he's near the water, you know, that provides a little bit more protection than if you were actually on the actual coast. But, you know, the thing is that a lot of that infrastructure was built in the 60s, and, you know, that's just as old as, the stuff that was in New Orleans when Katrina hit. So, yeah, there might just not be enough protection or updated protection to be able to deal with you know, this huge of a storm. I mean, currently right now it's category 5, and in fact they've been talking about potentially taking it up to a category 6, which there isn't even a category 6 exists yet. So anyway. Yeah, if you guys are in Florida, get the heck out, if you can, especially Miami. And they've also been talking about Tampa, surprisingly, because there's only one track that goes through Tampa yet, but the because of how wide this storm is, it's going to cover the entire panhandle, guys. So hopefully that the dirty arm, they call it, as it's coming back from land out into the water, you know, doesn't necessarily hit you guys. So hope he's okay. Hope JR is okay, because I can't even contact him today. And actually, I'm recording this morning of Thursday. So yeah, take care, everybody. Anyway, that said, we are talking to JR, and you know, he's someone that I've been learning quite a bit from recently. And you know, through his group, Digital Marketing Hacks for Entrepreneurs, he helps newbie sales funnel folks such as myself learn the ropes of getting their own digital marketing agency off the ground. And as you've heard in recent shows, learning to help people create sales funnels is really useful, especially in 2017, especially with how difficult Facebook has made it to learn how to properly do sales without giving people a method of asking for real help anymore. You know, when I was back in America Multisport, I actually had an agent that I could call. I had a phone number and I had an extension that I could speak with to help me learn more about placing ads. And so I know how to place ads, just that things have changed since then, including this business manager And yeah, that thing has added a complete another level of awkwardness to the entire process. But you know, that's something that I don't even know at this point really if it's needed or not. To answer questions like this, this is part of the reasons why, you know, groups like JRs are so important today, and whether or not you're doing the marketing in-house or you're wanting to create a business by helping other people do it, you know, he can help you out. And those of you who out there who are saying, oh, you know, I already know how to build a web page, or oh, I already know how to help folks on SEO, or even I help people build content for their sites and or products. Well, I'll just say that right now I was guilty of all three of them, and especially the last one for the last 2 years. And the reason I moved over and started learning about sales funnels is, you know, because there is really huge demand for people who can make profitable leads on Facebook, because people really frankly have no idea how to do it. And I think if you do it right, you can probably make more than you have been by adding this particular skill set to your wheelhouse. And it, you know, it complements those other skills really quite nicely, especially if you don't have any or very low competition in your local area that you'd be setting these things up. So in today's conversation with JR, we talk about how he became fascinated with entrepreneurship while a kid growing up in Allentown, Pennsylvania, how he got roped into doing taxes for a living, and why he left that after having actually what seemed to be a lot of success there. What's the best kind of online business that someone can get started in 2017? I think I've already hinted towards it. And what are some ways that he's been able to grow his own Facebook group? Now, today's session is powered by our friends over at Fizzle. You know, it's amazing when you can decide how to spend your own time. The best way to do that, though, is through building your own business. And that business, as we discussed in this session, you know, can look like anything you want it to be. Now, here's the catch. It's one thing to know a skill to be able to monetize it. For example, building sales funnels, right? But it's another thing altogether to know how to run a business, especially online. Now, running that business can be difficult to do, but like a lot of things in life, it's totally worth it. And that's why you can't quit. Never quit unless it doesn't fit you. That's another topic altogether. But keep going after the prize. You know, Fizzle is designed for wannabe or new entrepreneurs like yourself who want real connections, info, and feedback to help them get further. And you know, that's one of the reasons I have the show. You know, my network is your guys' network. And I've mentioned numerous times that those that I know, you know them too. If you need help with something we've talked about, I'll connect you. Let me know. However, there's some things we might not have covered or discussed, and that's where Fizzle has you covered. Corbett, Chase, Steph, and the community over there, you know, they're going to help you go faster, and there's so much experience over there. And unlike most mega Facebook groups, there's no agenda because you're already a paying member. So as a member, you have access to training courses, guidance for the next step, and insanely valuable feedback on their weekly coaching calls, and you get that all for $35 a month. So try it out for free today, 5 weeks free, by visiting newinceptions.com/fizzle. Again, that's newinceptions.com/FIZZLE. So that said, let's get on to this great conversation with J.R. Rivas. Show notes and show note extras can be found at newinceptions.com/104. And of course, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show today. JC here in a solo session with today's guest. It seems that a lot of the time when I do solo shows, it ends up being more of a nuts and bolts conversation at times because I like finding out what's under the hood and, you know, finding out how people got to where they are with as much detail as possible is, you know, kind of my personality and always been part of who I am. But because again, you know, a big part of the mission of this show is to help you guys and the audience realize that you can be successful as well. And today's guest is someone I believe is going to be able to give it to you straight, because like so many of us, he started from a very humble beginning and swore to himself that he wouldn't be like all of his friends growing up, poverty stricken or in major debt to college. So instead of going to college, he struck out on his own to start a business that would help him achieve his goal of not having to worry about money again. And Through this journey, he eventually became an online business owner where he's now recognized as one of Dan Henry's successful students and more. Today's guest is no other than J.R. Rivas. And J.R., welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. How are you?
Oh, great day. Great day. Just finishing up editing and about to push out another show tomorrow. And I've been an exciting week. Actually, my wife's in the National Guard, and she's out for the next couple of weeks. So it's kind of odd, kind of quiet around the house. Yeah.
That's when you get the most work done, though.
Yes. Yes, it is, because no one's complaining about you working way past the time that I normally would be. Because this is usually chill time. So, tell me a little bit about your life right now. You're looking to go to Paris with a past guest of ours, Arnie Giske, and as a speaker at a convention, right? What's that all about?
Yeah, so we're doing a digital marketing, it's called the Digital Nomad Accelerator program. It's a 2-week boot camp where people come out and you learn from each different speaker has a full day, which at first I was like, I don't even know what I can talk about for a whole day. But then once you start going through it, I'm like, wow, I do know a bunch of different things we can cover. We're going out, getting ready to go out there in a couple days. We're going to hit Paris, and the actual boot camp is in Barcelona.
Okay.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. I never would have thought, like, if you would have told me a year ago that this would be happening, I would have thought that was like at least a goal that was like 10 years out. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. So why speaking? Why not just keep your head down and keep doing your own thing then? I mean, yeah, you're right. That seems like something that's like 10 years, 5 years out, and then suddenly, boom, it's a year later. Why suddenly jump into speaking now?
Well, I've speaking has always been a goal, but it always seemed like something that was just like unobtainable until this past year, where people started asking me to speak at different places, and I started seeking these opportunities where I could speak. So I got to speak at an advertising convention, Dan Henry's advertising convention called AdCon in Orlando.
Right.
And then this program linked up with me through Arnie Giske, and they were looking for people who were digital nomads making a full-time living online and traveling at the same time. So I had a trip recently I travel like I'm out of the whole month, I'm probably home like 6 or 7 days. But most of my traveling is in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I was recommended for that. And then I sat down with the guy who put the program together. And he's like, yeah, I definitely think you'll be a good fit for this. So you made it happen.
Wow. That's just, you know, for those of us who are in the Midwest, you're in Florida, right?
Yes.
For those of us who are in the Midwest, we don't get out much. And there's just so many things that are going on in the rest of the world that, you know, when I tell people what it is that I do, and then even more so what other people are doing around the world, is just like, yeah, I don't know about that. And I'm like, well, they are, believe me. And here's a couple of examples. And I just kind of, you know, point them towards the podcast, and they're like, oh, I guess you're right. So yeah, good on you for making an example and leading there. And, you know, I kind of want to go back into your journey at this point. I mean, like me, again, you do come from a pretty humble beginning. And, you know, I came from a small town in Indiana where, again, people don't necessarily see beyond the cornfield too much. And if they do, they're generally thinking of those, you know, big traditional roles as doctors and lawyers and, you know, things like that, which, you know, don't get me wrong, is great to work towards, but a lot of times that's not their own dream. You know, it's basically what society has pushed on to them as being a form of greatness, right? And,
right.
You know, I got to ask you, I mean, tell me about where you're originally from and what it was like growing up there.
Yeah, so I grew up in a place called Allentown, Pennsylvania, about an hour out from Philadelphia. And it was a typical like low income area, about 150,000 people. My high school had a 40% dropout rate. I vividly remember like one particular instance where someone got shot at a basketball court, and like like, it wasn't even like a big deal to us. Like 45 minutes later, so the basketball court had two courts, so two full court where you could run like, you know, two full court games. Mm-hmm. And someone got shot on the left half, and literally while the police is like conducting the investigation on the left half of the court, we're playing basketball on the other side, and there's like bullet casings on the floor, and they're like putting down the like marker, the number markers for like where
the bullets the crime are happened and
stuff. Yeah. And we're just on the other side playing basketball. Like it wasn't even like a big deal or anything.
Wow.
But yeah, it was crazy. It was, and the kid was like 10. It was like a stray bullet that had nothing to do with him.
Uh-huh.
And it hit him in the shoulder, and he didn't even cry or anything. It was crazy. But he was all right. But that stuff like that was normal. Like another instance, like two blocks from my house, someone got shot over like a $200. Like in this case, they died over like a $200 bag of weed or something like that.
Oh yeah.
So that was just like my reality. But there was a really nice part of town, which was the West End. If mm-hmm. anyone is ever in Allentown, and if you go over there, the houses are like $3 million and. There was one particular house that it was like a castle. Like it literally had like, you know how the tops of castles
are the little up and downs sort of thing. Yep. Right.
It had that. And I just saw that house and I got so inspired by it one day that I was probably 16. I remember I had just started driving. And I went and I knocked on the door of this guy's house who was a multimillionaire.
That's awesome.
And you had to like ring the bell and they had a camera or whatever. And they're like, "Hey, can I help you?" And I was like, "Hey, I'm doing a report for school, and I just want to interview the owner of this house because I'm doing a, you know, I don't even remember what I said." But the guy came out, and he was like, "Oh, I don't own this house. I'm actually one of seven people who work here." But he gave me enough information where I could look up the owner.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually, at one point, I was like doing a security guard job at this like symphony hall. And I was guarding a parking lot where you had to be like a top donor to park in, which you had to donate pretty much over $10,000 to this place annually.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy whose house it was ended up on the list, and he came by, and his name was, we'll give him the name Bill, but I saw his name on the list. And then when he came in, I was like, "Bill, I've been wanting to meet you for so long." And like, I'm like this security guard kid, like, but he was really nice. And he just told me like, you know, keep dreaming. And he's like, "I started my company out of my parents' basement 40 years ago, and then he ended up selling it to the military." But I was just so inspired by him that I was like, "Wow, this is like really possible for me to make a business from nothing." And then from that point on, I just started researching, and it led me to like reading success books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Think and Grow Rich. The 4-Hour Work Week was popular around that time. I was mm-hmm. probably around 17 at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just started trying a bunch of different things, and I had like 50 plus failures. I tried like selling like the Cutco knives, any network marketing company you can think of, selling life insurance, like all kinds of things, all before I was like 19. Like I failed super quickly. And then I got into this tax business, and that's a whole story in itself. But I took a tax course and ended up opening a tax business for a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew that by the time I was 20 to 3 locations and 53 employees. And that was just insane. But I quickly realized that wasn't what I wanted to do either. It wasn't a passion project. It was something I did more for the money. And this whole online thing was something that it was always a dream. But again, like the people that you knew growing up, that doesn't, like, it's not a possibility. It's not something that's in the realm of possibilities. So I kind of just settled for more tangible businesses or real quote unquote businesses. And I just found that like if I was going to be happy, I had to go after what I wanted. So I sold my business, and I just sold it with no real game plan. And I just tried to make this internet thing work. And it took me about 6 months of being really bad at it to make I'd made like decent money here and there, but definitely not enough to survive. But 6 months of trying and trials and tribulation and buying courses, investing in courses, investing in mentors, meeting people who are doing the same thing to kind of figure it out.
Right.
And then I went full time doing this stuff, running ads for clients on Facebook. And then I started developing my own digital products, doing affiliate marketing, helping people out one-on-one. And that's just kind of been the natural progression But I'm constantly doing new projects. Like every single month I have a new project. And the crazy thing is, like, I could wake up one day, have no idea about what I'm about to do, literally throw something together that day, and then the next week that project will make me $5,000 or $6,000, which is like unreal. So to anyone listening, I would just say, like, it's definitely possible. I'm 23 years old and I can do this. I was really bad at math and numbers, and I graduated with like a 2.5 GPA from a high school where like a 2.5 GPA is probably like a 1.5 in any other school. So if I can make it happen, then anybody listening to this right now can definitely make it happen.
Wow. Okay. A lot of info there. Okay. Let's dissect some of that a little bit. Traditional success. Okay. So let's talk about that. And you, I think I gave you the wrong impression that all the people went to my, you know, these big, you know, Lottie positions. No, that's more like the high achievers. Most of them ended up as, well, not all of them as farmers, but for the most part, yeah, they're all, a lot of them are driving combines and tractors and things like that if they're still around the hometown. But, you know, the thing is that for traditional success for older millennials like myself, like I'm as old as you can possibly be considered a millennial, 35. And, you know, for us, it was all about going to college. And, you know, my mom, she was an art teacher. So formal education was very big to me until it wasn't suddenly. And that was actually until I got to grad school. And it was just like, okay, yeah, this is, I don't want to say it was a joke, but it kind of felt like that at the point. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned was that some of your friends had been going to college, but I'm kind of curious, did you have any external influences that helped you from going that route along with them? Or, I mean, what's made you start getting into businesses in the first place?
Yeah, so like I did a lot of research, and we had this guy come to speak to our high school one time. His name was, can't remember. He had a book though, but the book was called $2 to Happiness. Mm-hmm. And it was basically like a career day kind of thing. And he was a super wealthy entrepreneur, but he said he never went to college. And then he gave us like a handout of like all the different, it was like 200 different professions and then the average amount that they make. Mm. And the only ones making six figures or more on that list were like doctor and lawyer and like a high level skilled civil engineer or something like that.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I definitely don't want to do any of these things. So it's either figure something else out or make 50 or 60K a year,
right?
And have to work 40 hours a week. So when I, after that, so like, since it was a career day, everyone was kind of zoned out, but I was like hyper focused because he was an entrepreneur. So after the presentation, I went up to him and asked him, and I asked him what he thought about college. And he was like, it's good if you want to do any of these jobs. But he's like, I have a business where he's like, I didn't need to go to college. And he's like, the only time I went for a formal education is when I went to flight school to learn how to fly my plane. So I was just super inspired by that guy. And that was like, I was probably 16, 17 too. So it was like a probably like 5 or 6 moments throughout my teenage years, mm-hmm, that inspired me to not want to have a regular job. And then the fact that like, anytime I was at one of my regular jobs, like I've had like more than 20 normal jobs in my life.
Holy crap.
Yeah, like busboy, McDonald's, camp counselor, theme park. I worked at a wholesale club. And every single job I had, I would always try to find a better one for at least, you know, being 16 or 15. And I'd always think that next job that pays, you know, a dollar or 75 cents more an hour is going to make me happier, but it never did. So then eventually I realized it wasn't the money. It was the commitment of having to get up, you know, at early on a Saturday, which for a teenager is a big deal.
Right.
And go to a job where I'm standing in front of a register, and then I can literally see at the end of the shift, I can see how much money the place made. And for example, if it was like a wholesale club or something, I'd like the register reading would be like $20-something thousand. And I'd be like, dang, and I'm only getting like $8 an hour to do this. So I just quickly realized that I needed to sell something to live the life I wanted to live. So I started at that wholesale club. I started buying up the candy that they had in wholesale.
Right.
And the box would cost like $12 to $15, depending on the season and if I had any coupons. And then it'd come with 30 candy bars. And this was like Skittles and Starburst and Snickers and stuff like that. And then I'd sell them for a dollar in school. And that was my first taste of entrepreneurship, because on any given day, I'd sell a box or two of these candies and make anywhere from like $20 to $60 in one day while I'm going about my regular school day. So I was like, this is way better than getting a job. So then that was like when I first learned about inventory and stuff like that. And I started crunching numbers and figuring out profit margins and buying in bulk to get my margins up and stuff like that. And it was just a really good lesson in business. And I was like, heck, if I can do this on this scale, then I can definitely run a business in real life.
Wow. And for the most part, is the few times that I've kind of, like, I pay attention to Gary all the time, Gary V. And one of the things that he has talked to, I think it was either last year or the year before, like he had a 365 day challenge or something like that, where he wanted to make, you know, have people like basically go from a garage sale to garage sale and essentially just hustle and buy stuff and turn it around, and like $22,000 they could like earn or something like that, just doing that. And they could be part of a group or something like that. But
Yeah, I've done that. I've actually done that in the past as well. you can make up to, I think on my best week doing that, I've made like almost $1,000. So it's definitely like a great way to just get started. If you're like, hey, I need something to leave my job right now while I'm building up my other business, that's like super, super fun and simple.
Wow. Wow. So your first real, not necessarily career position, but your first thing, as you were saying, is that you ended up getting started with Liberty Tax, which to me, I have to admit, seems like, you know, it's boring and possibly degrading place to work for. It depends on who you are. And, you know, because it just might be just me, but I'm not a big fan of places where they need to, you know, put people in front of the stores dancing with a sign, especially while dressed as the Statue of Liberty. You know, just feel sorry for them more than anything. In fact, I've had it in my mind a couple of times because you had talked about how you were in MLMs before. Well, my upline Diamond and Amway at one point actually went up to someone that was standing in the middle of Chicago, and I think it was like Claire doing an advertisement for Claritin, and he's now one of his downline Emeralds and probably is working on Diamond Ship himself. But you know, the thing is that like I've always felt compelled to go over to them and say, you know, there's a better way of making a buck than doing this, right?
Yeah.
How did you get roped into that world exactly of tax? I mean, what made you think, okay, I want to be a tax man out of all things?
Well, when I first started out, I just wanted a business. Like, I didn't care what it was. I just wanted to be get in the game. Mm-hmm. So I took a tax course that they had there, and it was a free at the time. And I did taxes for one season, and then I ended up putting together a deal with another franchise owner mm-hmm. to pretty much finance me one of their locations with almost no money down. And I didn't have much money, just whatever I could save throughout a year's time.
Right.
And I remember reading that book, The Art of the Deal by Donald Trump. And regardless of how you feel about him, it was a great book. And he wrote it in like the 90s, long before he was running for president or anything. Mm-hmm. But I remember he said that when he wants to make a deal, he just finds the deal that he wants, and then he just keeps pushing until he gets it and keep getting creative. So what I found is like a lot of people could probably buy a business right now with almost no money down or no money down if they can just get creative enough in their deal making. So the same thing, once you learn that like deals don't always work the way that you think and that there's a lot of creativity behind them, you learn how to, I just took a course in like a few weeks ago on how to buy a house with no cash or credit and no money down. So It's definitely possible. And I could elaborate on that.
Actually, I think I kind of know what you're talking about. It's when people want to get out of their house and you're kind of become like a kind of like a sublease sort of situation.
Yeah, it's called a lease option.
Yeah.
So you basically find people who either inherited a home or they're accidental landlords or they're tired of being a landlord or they just have a house that they can't sell because it needs repairs and they don't want to do it. You come in and you take over their payment and you negotiate 3 months up front without having to make a payment. And then in the meantime, you can fix it and sell it or you can find a rent to own buyer or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but the key is just getting creative, finding out what the other person wants, and then getting creative in how you can structure a deal and put it together. Uh-huh. So money is never the issue. The issue is your money will come if you're creative enough and resourceful enough, I guess you can say.
Huh. Yeah, I haven't been able to actually read. Well, it's not that I haven't been able to. I haven't read the book, but I do know that a lot of people compare what he talks about in that book. They compare a lot of what he talks about in there as hypnosis. Have you kind of bumped into any of that or heard anything like that?
I mean, I'm nowhere near as like skillful at it as he is in the book.
Uh-huh.
But no, I haven't put any of that stuff. I like read a book and I get like two main things and that's all I can implement. Like that's my capacity to implement.
Okay. I'll definitely in the show notes, I think it was an Art of Charm conversation maybe. And I'll get that in the show notes and also send it over to you and you'll be like, huh, yeah, I didn't think about it that way. But so you, again, we're having success with the Liberty Tax model. You opened three stores or three franchises. How did you achieve that success? Was that all through deal making or did you have more sign waivers than anybody else or what? How did you expand so quickly?
Yeah, well, my first year was really, really good. We had like a 62% increase or something like that. My second year with the three locations, it was not as good as like a 17% increase. I was totally over leveraged. Out of my employees, I had like three returns, so I had 50 new people. It was just like, in my opinion, it was a disaster because I was 20 years old managing 53 people that most of them were like first or second year tax preparers. I had to train them all, teach them all taxes, and teach them how to close. And come up with systems to monitor everyone's closing rate and stuff like that. It was just a lot of work, and it was just not fun at all. So that's kind of when I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. It was just kind of something I did for money, mm-hmm. which I recommend nobody
not
do that.
Not doing,
I
mean, yes.
I mean, at first, you might have to do a few things that you don't want to, but ideally, you want to have that kind of in the forefront to like, pick your ideal lifestyle and then choose a career or business that would fit that and not the other way around. Because although the tax business was cool, you only worked 5 or 6 months out of the year. Those 5 or 6 months were extremely stressful.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine. I'm good with numbers and I wouldn't even do it.
Yeah.
So why online? You know, we were talking about you said that one of the books that you read early on was a 4-hour work week and Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Where did you find the online business route?
So I started researching and I actually started listening to podcasts. And I listened to, there was one called the Read to Lead podcast. Pretty sure it's still around. And I listened to like episode 1 or 2. They had John Lee Dumas on that. And then I started listening to his podcast and found Pat Flynn. And his was the most practical advice. Mm-hmm. So I started a podcast, but I did it to kind of like dip my toe into like the online world and then start researching people and have because I didn't know I didn't know about Facebook groups. I didn't know anybody who was doing this stuff. So I was like, if I start a platform, I can get in front of people and pick their brain for an hour and they won't think I'm a weirdo. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. And then I came across Dan Henry. He was like one of, I think he was like my 11th episode. And I was like, I want to do what this guy does. And I started researching more, getting plugged into Facebook groups. And he was coming out with a course and he had a beta. And he said, hey, well, I asked him, I was like, hey, how can I learn more about this stuff? And he was like, hey, I'm coming out with a course soon, but it's still in beta. And I was like, can I just get in while it's in beta? And then, you know, as you roll out the content, I'll just, you know, digest that. So he's like, sure. And he's like, I'm going to sell it for $1,000, but if you give me $800 now, you'll get the content now. And when I roll out the new version, you'll get it for free. So I was like, sounds good. I had never invested in an online course, but since I had the opportunity to talk to this guy for an hour, mm-hmm. I knew that he was legit. So, cause I got to really like, and then after the podcast, we talked for like another hour. So I really got to like ask him anything. And, I was like, yeah, this seems like something I could possibly do. But my confidence level still wasn't too high. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, it was probably like a 3 that I could actually do this.
But you had a background in doing all those franchises and heading those people, man. What?
Yeah. But the online thing, it just seemed too good to be true. I was like, I'm sure there's some people out there doing it, but like, I don't know. Because in the franchise business, you have a business model that you follow.
Right.
When you're going off online, you're kind of like, you make all the decisions, you figure out what you want to do, where you want to go. So I was like, I had serious doubts that I could make it in a business by myself without like a big brother giving me the business plan. Mm-hmm. So that held me back for like 3 months. And I just kept dabbling and reading and learning, but not really doing anything. And then once I started actually doing and saying, okay, I would say I'm going to make an ad, and I would like, you know, draw it out on paper and then ask like 5 people what they thought about it. And then like one person would give me a negative review, and then I'd second guess myself and be like, okay, maybe I shouldn't do that. And then I'd do that with like 5 different concepts. Mm-hmm. But when I started just doing things without, because at a certain point I was like, all right, whatever my idea is, someone's going to crap on it. So I might as well just not tell anybody and just try it. So I just tried a concept, which was running an ad to get clients for chiropractors. And I was like, just let me take this idea. I'd seen someone do something similar for individual prospecting. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let me take this concept, turn it into an ad, and run it and see what happens. And I didn't have high hopes for it because I hadn't had a successful ad prior to that. But it worked, and it worked like gangbusters. I spent around $450. I got 20 appointments with chiropractors, and I was able to close 5 of them, and at $1,000 to $1,500 a month. And then I leveraged them to get their friends' contacts by doing a referral program. And I just grew my business to my first $10,000 a month just doing that.
Wow.
And I literally went from making almost no money online to making over $10,000 a month in a 45-day span, not including like the 5 or 6 months that I spent, you know, dilly-dallying and trying to figure stuff out.
Right.
So I guess the moral of that story is if you have an idea, it's probably not going to work. I'll be honest. If you have an idea for a business and you've never been in a business in that space, it's probably not going to work on your first, second, or third try. But eventually, you're going to learn what doesn't work, and the only thing left is going to be what does work. And then you're going to do that and be a massive success. And it's really that simple. But most people quit before they get to that 6th, 7th, or 8th try.
Right. Well, but a couple of things. For one, remember all those businesses and jobs that you tried early on. You got a lot of experience back then too. So, I mean, you, there was a lot more behind the wall or behind all the work that you did even up until that point. Okay. So low confidence aside, when you're going into all this, you had a lot of prior experience that puts you way in front of a lot of other folks that are just getting into the entrepreneurial sort of thing anyway. All right. So not saying that you needed some therapy there, but it's like, I think other people might not necessarily see all the previous work that you put into figuring stuff out early on. And what I would say is that you failed fast and furiously early on, you know? again, to the audience, you need to like experiment and experiment hard sometimes. And that's just part of learning. Another thing is that you had talked about that you had hosted a podcast. Do you still have that posted anywhere for archive purposes or if anybody wants to listen to any of them?
It's a sad story. I had hosting, and so I stopped doing the podcast, but I kept paying for the hosting. And then I switched my, I think I like lost my debit card or something. So the card that was paying for the hosting, stopped working and it like lapsed and I lost all the recordings. But yeah, it sucks, but, hopefully they're out there somewhere. I know some people, one guy said he was able to hear them on Google Play, but I wasn't able to find them. So it was called the Rags to Niches podcast. If anyone can locate it, I'd be happy to push that out there.
And then the third thing is that you mentioned that just kind of like me, you got started with Pat Flynn as one of your go-to people. And thanks to him, you know, I started listening, paying attention to him actually right before he started his podcast, which for kind of dates how long I've been paying attention to all this sort of stuff. So back then, and even the stuff that I learned early on was all about blogs, email, YouTube was the ticket for video. You know, and it seems that many of those who use those mediums back then are still doing pretty well today. But one of the things that I'm kind of curious about is a lot of things have changed since then. And it seems that the entry point has gotten lower and lower for the magic to begin, so to speak. But at the same time, you don't want to just focus on starting a blog that matters, so to speak. Which is one of the things that Corbett Barr talks about through Fizzle, and he used to do a website called Think Traffic. What do you think is the best way for people to get started now? Doing like freelance work, like doing the ads for people, because that's kind of your background? Or, I mean, do you think that people can still do the blog, John Lee Dumas, start a podcast and it'll take off sort of thing?
Yeah, well, the podcast thing is a great route because you'll get to see so many different businesses. And just from like the opportunities and the people that I met through podcasting, like I went to a podcast movement that year. I had other people. I ranked on the New and Noteworthy relatively fast. So I had a bunch of people who I'm still friends with to this day. That I just met through podcasting and connecting on their shows and having them on my show. And it's just a really easy way to like open your mind up to this whole community. But on that same note, not everyone's going to want to start a podcast. So I would start, like, if let's say I'm like, okay, I don't want to do a podcast, I would just start out listening to podcasts and about the stuff that you're interested in. Running ads for clients is still a great avenue because there's always going to be a business owner that wants more customers, and it doesn't require a lot of skill on your end. If you just learn one campaign for one type of business, you can run that for 10 different businesses without knowing a thing about marketing. As far as blogging, I'm just getting into that now. I'm actually building a niche site for hookah reviews. Like if you guys are familiar with what those are, they're getting pretty popular. I also have a blog on digital marketing that I haven't put much time into, but it's getting like 1,400 visitors a month and making a little bit of money, like very, very little bit of money from that. But I've just dabbled in that stuff. But just from what I've seen from myself and my experience and other people, you can definitely start a blog around a topic that you're passionate about or solving a problem that you've had. Like I've seen like stop snoring, skin tag removal, different things like that, little sites like that, that you can literally set up in a day and then it could go on to make, you know, $300 to $500 a month for years and years to come with very minimal work. It's definitely possible. Aside from that, learning SEO is a good avenue as well. And then doing that for small businesses. These are all things that you could literally, if you put your head down, you could learn them in a month and then start generating income right away.
Good to know that some of those those older skills are still practical in today's online business world, because yeah, old schoolers like myself, it's just like, you know, I had my ears open for so long, and then I kind of went through that, you know, and I think a lot of people do, they go through that information constipation stage, and it's like, I don't know where to start. So there, you know, that being said, seems to be two groups of people that I found working on the web. Again, those that go the more traditional route using WordPress, services like Aweber, ConvertKit, Lead Pages. I mean, you know, I'm sure you know about those. And I feel that, you know, those people have having a really successful blog and info products on their mind since day one. And I personally think it's a slow process. You know, I've seen, again, we've been talking about Pat, we've been talking, JLD, he killed it by doing daily podcasts. But watching Pat over the years, I mean, he's kind of slowly grown at it. And, you know, this is the route that we, the people that we look up to. Brenda Burchard is another one. And Russell, of course, is one. And it's a 10-year plan. And you would call it the experts route. And then there's another newer group who knows more about ClickFunnels or the funnel hackers. Who, again, they're helping other businesses, as you said, make more income for those businesses, and then those people scale up quite quickly, like yourself, like Dan Henry, and boom, you know, they're suddenly traveling around the world. And I got to ask you, is your opinion that people can still go the old route to win, or should they consider the newer route? And I know you kind of just answered this in the last question, but which is more plausible right now?
Right now, I would say from what I've seen is that the easiest, the clearest path is to run ads for small businesses, simple businesses like restaurant. That don't understand Facebook, you can make a coupon for a free appetizer, run that on Facebook, very minimal skills, and it could be successful, and you could have a client paying you $500 a month. That's not difficult by any means. Blogging and stuff like that, you can throw up a niche site in a week and it could, you know, bring you income. But in that case, you're gonna have to know how to sign up for a hosting company and link that with WordPress and install a theme and stuff like that. Stuff that I'm just learning now. I'm not tech savvy compared to my peers. I mean, like, if you're comparing me to someone who's like 50 years old and never touched a computer, then yeah. But to compare to like the average person who works online, I'm not tech savvy by any means. So I'm just now getting a handle around that stuff. Not that it's difficult. You just have to know a little bit about the internet and how it works and stuff like that. To run a Facebook ad, you don't really need to know much at all. So I recommend that route for someone who that sounds appealing to. But if you're like, hey, I'm willing to take some time, build up a blog, build up a following. I'm not miserable at my job right now, but this will be like what I'm passionate about. Then I would definitely go the blogging route. Do product reviews, do videos, video reviews and stuff like that, and see and just keep learning. Like there's plenty of like cheap resources, free on YouTube, very cheap courses and stuff on Udemy, udemy.com. You can search anything on there and there's probably a course on it for like 30-50 bucks, and you can read reviews to make sure that what you're buying is good or credible. And you can just get learning. And then if after a week, there's nothing wrong with researching something for a week and then saying, maybe instead of trying to make a blog, maybe I'll try to do like an online store where I drop ship stuff from AliExpress right to the customers and I never have to handle it. I want to just be an affiliate marketer and sell digital products for other people. Or maybe I want to sell physical products for other people. Or maybe I want to start a YouTube channel. You just kind of have to do a self survey of what you like. And like I said, think about your dream lifestyle first and then see which one of these fits the best. So if you're someone who doesn't like talking to people a lot, then you probably are not going to want to work with clients. But, and maybe in that case, you prefer a blog and doing video reviews because you don't have to talk to anyone ever. Or doing an online store where you don't have to talk to anyone ever. If you're someone right. who's a little bit more social like me and you don't mind doing Facebook Lives and stuff like that, then you can start a Facebook group. Like I have a group that I built up to, I think almost 4,000 members of just digital entrepreneurs. And I go, wow. I go live in the group almost every day. I answer people's questions. I give out free, like free content all the time. But I'm the kind of person who doesn't mind that stuff. If you're like introverted, then you probably don't care for any of that. And you don't even want people to know that you're on the internet making money. You just want to wake up when you wake up, write your blog posts, make your videos, and then, you know, live a happy life and go to bed.
Right. Right. For sure. Side note that, hold on, I had a thought and then I lost it. Okay. Let's see, we covered that. And, oh, and you had just mentioned Udemy, and another one that Pat, again, we have Pat in common, which seems to be of common link with me and a lot of other online business people. He uses teachable.com or something like that, which I also had, Jessica Tor was a previous guest of mine and she's now like their lead marketing person or something. So, just wanted to drop that name in there. Something else that you brought onto is the Facebook groups. And as we both noticed today, a lot of them seem to be killing themselves or closing shop for whatever reasons. And what was your final verdict of the day? What did you find out that the reason why all these mega groups are suddenly shutting shop?
Yeah. So there's been a string of groups with like 40,000 plus members that have all, archived their group, meaning you can go back in the group and read anything anyone's ever wrote, but you can't post anything new. And today I asked in another group, why are people doing this? And I don't know, I got a bunch of mixed answers, but the answer that I seem to see a lot is that the groups have gotten too big for them to be intimate with the owner, and they can't measure their algorithms, like a bunch of stuff that would never even cross my mind until I got a group that big. But speaking from experience, my group has grown from about 500 members to almost 4,000 in like a month and a half. And that's just through being engaging all the time in the group, like posting frequently. I welcome all new group members. I give a lot of free content and I optimize my group so that when people search digital marketing in Facebook, my group pops up right away. So if you are like, let's say you love knitting, like crochet or whatever, and I'll pick something really, really simple like that. So you guys know that this could work with anything. And you start a group. So the business plan that I would say is start a blog on it, start a Facebook group and call it like crochet lovers or something like that, like something that a crochet lover would search, be engaging in it every single day. Build your audience, become a member of some affiliate programs for that kind of stuff. Amazon is an affiliate program that they have every product on there, really. And give value, make a resources page, make a website, make a resources page, and put all your best tools and best practices in there. So when anytime someone clicks it, you get a commission. So over time, if you're giving a lot of value in a group, when someone's going to buy something from somewhere else related to your topic, a lot of the times they'll message you and they'll say, hey, do you have an affiliate link for this? Because you've helped me out in the past and I'd like to make sure that I'm going to buy this anyways. I'd like to make sure you get paid. And that's a really good way to build a solid foundation of people who you like and get along with that are interested in the same thing that you can then sell things to. Either your own products or your own guides or products and affiliate sell other people's products as affiliates. And that's as simple as going to Google and type in crochet affiliate programs, and like 10 of them will pop up, and you click the one that you like the most, that has the best product with the best payout, and then you start finding ways to promote that. YouTube videos, blogs, Facebook groups, giving away free guides that then lead to someone to check out one of your products or something like that. That's like a full scale approach. If you're like, yeah, I really want to be the authority crochet guy in my niche.
Crochet guy in my niche.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's male nurses, so I mean, I'm sure that's a thing. All right. So, what's besides the conference in Paris? What else are you looking forward to, man?
Yeah. So right now, I'm putting together. Like I said, I'm putting together that review site for Hookah Stuff. I'm putting together. I'm really, really close to winning a car through an affiliate program. So once I get all this stuff squared away and I know that I have a solid method that would work for anybody, with a bunch of different techniques, like a lot of the stuff we've talked about, like Facebook groups and blogging and stuff like that. Once I have all that stuff squared away in a simple way that I could show beginners, I'm going to launch an affiliate marketing course and basically show how I won a car through affiliate marketing, how I make more money than most doctors through affiliate marketing. And all this while sleeping as long as I want and not having to go to an office at any point throughout the day.
Well, that'd be cool. I guess at this point, as we're about to wrap things up a bit, are you ready for the rapid-fire question segment?
Yes, I am.
All right. Who are three influencers or teachers that have launched you to where you're at today?
My dad, Napoleon Hill, and Tim Ferriss.
Which one of his books was your favorite?
Tim Ferriss or Napoleon Hill?
Tim Ferriss.
The 4-Hour Work Week for sure. I have all of them though. 4-Hour Chef, 4-Hour Body, and The Tools of the Titans.
Did you get too much out of that last one, Tools of the Titans?
It was basically his podcast turned into a book. So I was like, okay, I know all this stuff already.
Name one thing that costs under $100 that has changed your life.
I have this. I don't even know what it's called, but it's basically a stand for your laptop. It's $35 on Amazon. But you put your laptop on it, and instead of looking down all day at your laptop, you're looking straight. And then I got a keyboard and a mouse so that I don't get chronic neck problems in old age from sitting down all day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely going to have to invest in a better chair eventually myself. So I know that pain. What issue do you believe people ought to be talking about, but yet hardly anybody is?
Ooh, that's a good question. I feel like in the realm of entrepreneurship, I feel like the fact that the education system hasn't been changed in over 100 years and is still teaching the same stuff and not teaching life skills. Like, I believe like schools should teach like a networking 101 class. Adult living, like real life, how real life works kind of class, how taxes work, things like that. And I feel like, you know, I've never used anything I've ever learned in Algebra 2, but yeah, I spent a whole year learning it.
Yeah. And I spent 3 years teaching it. So how do you think I feel? let's see. If you woke up tomorrow as your 10-year-old self and all your memories were still intact, what would you do?
I probably wouldn't waste time trying to do things that I know aren't going to bring me happiness as a means to try to get to something that's going to bring me happiness. So I was always like, okay, I'll start this business, and then once that's successful, then I'll start an online business, or then I'll try to travel. So, like, for example, I have a friend who his dream is to like be an actor, and he's been on like a few Disney Channel episodes and stuff. I'll say his name. His name is Eddie. What's up if you're listening? And his whole reason for being an online marketer is so that he can have the money and the freedom to then go be an actor. Whereas I would say, screw all this, just go try to be an actor.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's something else is that like, My wife and I are, well, she's more so than I am, but, you know, and a lot of those, we were talking about MLMs at one point, and a lot of those MLMs, one of the biggest things is to go traveling once you, you know, get to a certain level, right?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you travel now? And so one of the things that we did was that we actually got involved with another one called World Ventures, and that's all they do is like just travel on like the Costco rate. And it's just like, yeah, why don't you just do it?
So, yeah, so many people think traveling is so expensive. My flight to Paris, they paid for it since I'm speaking there, but it was like $300. And there's like hostels you can stay in. There's Airbnb. Like traveling, you can within a year's time, I honestly believe this, anybody could find a way to leave their job and travel full time if they really take a crack at it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whole traditional 9-to-5 is not going to be around that much longer. There's no way, especially with a lot of them that are around, as you probably know, don't have culture. And that's another discussion all in itself. Yeah. So, what is one thing you believe all high school students must know?
Networking.
Going back to the networking.
Yeah. If to elaborate on that, all I will say is most people get their jobs through knowing someone rather than applying on Indeed or snagajob.com or whatever, yet they don't teach networking.
Yeah. Yeah. That was something that was very hard for me to find out when I got out of grad school. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I mean, it took me a while just to get involved with the startups that I did. And networking on the go or learning to network on the go was definitely, but it helps you with your confidence. I think that's part of what might've helped you with your podcasting, that, you know, you got to get good at just meeting new people all the time.
Yeah. So, if you can walk into a room and make friends with 10 new people, you're way better off than the person who went for their MBA when you just, you know, have a bachelor's. You're 10 times better off than that person if that person just sits in the corner and, you know, sips on the free wine all night.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of goes into that for sure. And the last question, what is the secret to achieving personal freedom in your opinion?
Having enough money to where you can do whatever you want and not have to work is, because that, although that's a financial goal, that opens your life up to hang out with your family more, you know, work out if that's what you want to do, and just live a more fulfilled life when you don't have the pressure of having to get up tomorrow to go to work, even though you hate it, and you know that you'll be taken care of and everything's all good.
Awesome. So, action steps for this session. If someone is wanting to, they're listening to today's show and they want to become the next JR, so to speak, what are the next four steps that they should be taking?
They can join my free digital marketing group. If you go to digitalmarketinghacks.org, it reroutes right to my group. Tons of free content in there. And speaking of free content, I came out with a free digital marketing academy. Digital marketing, if you go to jrevis.com/academy, or you can also find it from the group. I've put together a bunch of lessons, very newbie friendly, to teach somebody how to get up and running in an online business. From there on, I'd say go listen to any podcast around the topic of what you want to learn every day for at least like half an hour. And step four would be just implement things without, you know, going to 10 of your closest family members and asking them what they think about it, because that's not going to help you or them.
Or trying to get them started in whatever crazy thing that you're doing.
Right.
Cool. Well, JR, you had mentioned your site, but you can mention it again. Where can people find you if they want more additional help?
You can go to jrrivas.com/my story, and that'll tell you my full story in detail of how I pretty much went from, you know, being in high school to running a tax business and then online, and I share my successes and my failures and stuff like that on there.
All right, dude. Well, definitely appreciate you taking the time with me today. And yeah, I think this turned into a nice little courtesy to SPI. All right, man. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Well, there you have it, guys. As you can tell, JR is on fire. You know, he brings all kinds of value to the folks that he's working with. And if you're thinking about going into learning about sales funnels yourself, head on over to his Facebook group called Digital Marketing Hacks for Entrepreneurs. In the meantime, I'd love to hear what you got out of today's show. And you can send me a tweet at JC_Preston on Twitter, or as always, send us an email at heyguys@newinceptions.com. Remember, we really like those reviews on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and iTunes. So wherever you're subscribed to us from, and please make sure that you subscribe, ding, let us know how the show has helped you. And for the extra section of this session, now that you know who JR is, you know, I wanted to give you guys a feel of the kinds of things he does and what he teaches others to do. So first one on the list is from back in June 30th, which is apparently, I didn't know this actually, the National Social Media Day. And in this TV appearance on Chattanooga's WEF News 12, JR spoke about why companies need to pay attention to social media marketing and how they can use him, or I'd even say his understudies, because when they win, he wins, to do similar work. And listen to how he describes his company. You know, it might actually help you with your sales pitch a bit if doing sales funnels is something that you want to help people with. The next video is with his mentor, Dan Henry, and you might have heard in our conversation that JR quickly figured out how to make $10,000 a month working on sales funnels. And in this video, Dan and him talk about how that all went down. Third on the list is with past guest Arnie Giske, where they actually review Dan's course, Facebook Ads for Entrepreneurs. You know, it's done a ton for them, as you'll find out in the video. And if you want to get into the game, Dan's course is probably a great resource for you to get started with. So finally on the list is a video for people who might have already been playing around with sales funnels a bit. You might not be having much luck with it, especially if you're not following someone else that kind of knows what they're doing, like JR. So specifically in this video, he talks about how your landing page might not be working for you and how to fix that a little bit. So yeah, I really think that you guys will get a lot out of those videos as far as more of a foundation and what you can do with sales funnels. And truly is a great place to get your entrepreneurial feet wet in 2017. Now, in next week's show, Albert joins me again to interview another Indianapolis-based entrepreneur, and her name is Lisa Mitchell. Lisa is a communications expert who specializes in body language and nonverbal skills training. And in the chat with her, you know, we'll be talking about first impressions and if they really matter, decoding what does and doesn't go into that, and some tips that you can use in building relationships, professional and romantic. So I hope you guys join us next week for that conversation with Lisa. She's actually been around the country and is actually on the local TV here in Indy quite a bit. So a lot of good information with that one. Anyway, if you want to make sure that you're informed when that session is published, all you have to do is like the New Inceptions page on Facebook, and then underneath the following tab, just select see first, you know, you'll get all of our posts throughout the week, which there really isn't that many. So guys, that's it for session 104. And again, remember, if you want some basic entrepreneurial support, including courses, community coaching, and a roadmap to get you from point A to point B, check out Fizzle today for 5 weeks free by visiting newinceptions.com/fizzle. That said, thanks again for joining myself and JR in this chat. Until next time, gang. Dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating, and we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.